Rabbi Isai, we're continuing in the 10th Cheshbon, in the 9th Cheshbon, in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, where the Chavos Levavos tells us that there are various mitzvahs where the kavana is not the main part of the mitzvah. The main part is the action, such as a sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, mezuzah, even Shabbos and tzedakah. Here, he says clearly that the mitzvahs, these mitzvahs, if you have improper thoughts, the ruah b'dvar ma'cheirim b'shas asiyasan einan goyim mi'erkon. If while you're putting up mezuzah, you have something else in mind, you have some narishkeit and gantz in the mind, or you're giving tzedakah, you have some other silly thing in mind. We're not talking shalal l'shmo, or to be misguided, the misfoyer, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're doing tzedakah l'spoyer, so you lose your schar. But the Ramastam, you have no kavana what you're doing. You have no kavana during the tzedakah. You're giving it like mechanically, even sitting in a sukkah, or shaking a lulav, b'shas ma'isa, you're not even thinking about it, you're just doing it. So he says that, ein gorim mi'erkan, there's a rishon. The Chavdo says it does not in any way take away from the value of the mitzvah, which is a gewaltig chiddush. I mean, after all is said and done, it means to say the precise halachic value. If you're ma'isav more kavan in the mitzvah, if it's shteitzach alein, then you put more avoid in it, you put more heart in it. So if it's shteitzach, the mitzvah becomes a bigger mitzvah. But it means saying it's talking basic halacha. What you have in mind, if you're sitting, as long as you're sitting in the sukkah. So if you're sitting in a sukkah, you shouldn't do it, chas v'shalom. You're sitting and reading a newspaper, so it doesn't make it. You're not thinking about the sukkah, b'shas ma'isa, and you're daydreaming. I mean, you can sleep in the sukkah too, you know. But you have no kavanah for the sukkah right now. You're speaking dvarim b'tanim in the sukkah. You're even speaking lashon hara in the sukkah. L'ma'isa, it doesn't take away from the etzem mitzvah sukkah. V'shteitz chalein is not a good thing to do. But speaking strictly halachically, you did not undermine the mitzvah. Ma'ashenken, he says, tefillah, the kavana is everything, and without kavana, every word is not invested with kavana, so this is undermining the essence of what tefillah is. This is the meditation, the ninth meditation over here, the chashivas of tefillah. And we left off that, the third week we're learning this one meditation, and we left off last week. They said, "Alecha ochi ladas, ki matarasenu v'tfila ein ela labi as kolois navshenu ela lehim v'etachna osa lefanav." You should know, my dear brother, he says, that our entire purpose in tfila is only to express our yearning kolois navshenu lekim, which really, you know, means avas Hashem. You know, by the way, we talk about avas Hashem, avas Hashem, v'yachne ben avosoi v'yirosoi. I mean, how do you love Hashem? I love Hashem. We're supposed to love Hashem. And that's what the whole davening is all about. To love. So he says it means I want to get close to Hashem. I want to live my life that I should have Hashem on my mind all the time. Ava means that I should be obsessed with my thinking and my concentration on the Rebbeinu Shlom and how much I want to be near Him. So if you want that, Ava, that emotional word, Ava, love, how does it apply to the Rebbeinu Shlom? Of course, the highest madrega is really love the Rebbeinu Shlom. But we say you love somebody, so you love your wife. So hopefully that means at least that you want to be with her as much as possible, and you want to spend as much time with her, and nothing, you don't enjoy anything in life without sharing with your wife. And you feel that without her you're like not a person, you're missing your whole essence, and you feel like half a person, less than half a person, totally a fraction of a person. That's like the minimum shot in Ava for your wife. And hopefully you should have an Ava where Pashit, you're thinking about her all the time. And wherever you go, you always think, oh, I can't wait to tell my wife about what happened over here. I can't wait to tell her about this. I can't wait to get home and share this with her. And that's what Ava, that's a very basic explanation of Ava is. I want to be close to a person. I want to spend my life with the person. So Ava's Hashem, he says, is klois ha-nefesh. I have a yearning to be with the Eberstein all the time. I don't want to bear a second to be Messiah Das and Rebbeinu Shlom. Wherever we go, I think about the Rebbeinu Shlom. And when I daven, I want to pour my heart out. Rabbi Shalom, I want to be with you, please, today. Mama, I want to be close to you, Rabbi Shalom. Hey, the Gabbai Shefer, don't let me alone. Let me sense your kirvus ash elakim li toiv. That's la bi as kolois navsheinu elakim. That's afna osu lefonav. And the second thing is to surrender ourselves, my neshama, not my body. That's the first part. That's the easy part. A lot of people surrender their body to Hashem, but not the neshama. I want to surrender my neshama to the Rabbi Shalom, meaning that my brain and my neshama is thinking about the Rabbi Shalom all the time. I want to think about the Rabbi Shalom all the time. Es tachnasa lefanav. And I'm a roimim esbara. I elevate that Hashem is foremost in my mind, and my neshama gives shvach vaydoy l'shmoy. Umatila love as neitel kartzachel, and the biggest praise to the Rabbi Shalom is that I will use such a word to dump matila love. We dump upon the Rabbi Shalom. We throw upon the Rabbi Shalom all of my needs. The highest level of praise to Hashem and the highest level of klais nefesh is not only do I neshama dik put myself close to the Rabbi Shalom, but I say that all my physical needs depend on the Rabbi Shalom. I can't get through the day without your Rabbi Shalom. I will not be able to get to work today. I will not be able to eat breakfast today. I can't do anything today, Rabbi Shalom, without you. All my tzrachim depend on you. This is where we left off last week. And now the Chavis Levavis tells us that in order to accomplish this, that we started this, he says, the only way to accomplish this is to have, we definitely started this last week. So he said, the way to get accomplish this, you have to have a Nusach Achid. We discussed the other Nusach Achid, yeah. So he said, we have to have one common liturgy, one common text of Tefillah in order to accomplish this. In other words, even though it seems that by having a set prayer book, so our tefillah is less spontaneous, and it's therefore, it's not so neshamadik, it's not so spontaneous, because I'm reading from a sitter. So it's not me, it's the sitter. He says, no. He says, the fact that we have a sitter, and I am obligated to be with every other yid in the world, to use the words of the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, so that itself shows my recognition of my insignificance and my inability to talk to the Rabbi Shalom myself. This itself is a Gevaltik Zach. The fact that I need a sitter shows a Shvachaya. So let me explain that. So it's very appropriate that we should talk about this week. You know why? Why is it so appropriate to talk about this whole subject of the Nusach Kavur, the sitter, this week? Mr. Brian knows that he's being humble about it. Because this week is a big yard site. That's why, right? This week is a big yard site. And this week is the yard site. Well, let's use yard sites this week. So in Siman Tavkuf Pei, Hilchus Tainus, it says, these are the days, Eli Yamash Iru Behem Tsaras Avasenu. Roy the Sanas Behem. The following days, bad things happened in Jewish history. And, it's appropriate to fast on the following days, even though some of them come on Rosh Chodesh. So it's a good idea. And, one of the days is, let's see, in this month of Tevis, we have a few of these good days. And that's why. So he says in, Ches Tevis, that's Wednesday. Nichtav Atayra Yevonis, Meitami Amelech, Vayachayshir Boivam Gimel Yamim. So the 8th of Tevis is a bad day. And that the Torah was written in the Greek, in the time of Talmud Amelech in Egypt. And there was darkness in the world for 3 days. As I, you state, Mesef the Seifim. Tezboi, Loinoida Ezu Hitzorosh Iraboi. And this is such an amazing, the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber says, that on the 9th day is a bad day. Day for fasting. I don't know why, says the Shulchan Aruch. I can't remember any other place that says Shulchan Aruch. I don't know why. Remember any other place in Shulchan Aruch? Here, Bucky and Arbichalki Shulchan Aruch. Where else does it say, I don't know why?
I don't know why. Gotta just do it. I don't know why. And on the 10th day, of course, well, he didn't even mention the 10th day, because the 10th day is not an optional. These are all optionals. He says the 9th day, I don't know why. So, of course, on the side here, the Be'er HaGoyla says, the Be'er HaGoyla says that would happen on the 9th, and see the Mogan the Rama, I believe also, he says, this is the art of Ezra Seifer. Some say that the real reason is, I mean, this is another, some say that what really happened is that's really Nittel, that's Demis and Nittel. Because according to the, of course, Nittel, Xmas, we discuss this all the time, is that we, our concept of Xmas is when they have a date, and we have a date. Their date is December 25th. But December 25th is according to the Gregorian calendar. According to the Julian calendar, December 25th comes out about 13 days later, because the Julian calendar is slower than the Gregorian calendar. Because Gregory realized that every year ends up 11 seconds early. It's amazing. 11 minutes. So those 11 minutes have gathered up already in the last 2048 years or so since Julius Caesar made his calendar. So Gregory, with his astronomers in 1582-83, figured out that really the calendar goes faster. So really, the Gregorian calendar is what used in the whole Western world is 13 days ahead of the Julian calendar. But we Jews hold by the Julian calendar because we're Jewish, and we hold by Julian, seriously. And that's based on the Gemara in Arabic. There's Machlokes Shmuel Ravada Barava, which calendar to use. And anyway, we hold by the Julian calendar. And therefore, by us, Nittel is really 13 days later. So how much is 13 days after December 25th? Is about January 7th or so. 6th or 7th. December is 31 days, so 6 days more in September, in December, and another 7 days in January. Now, tomorrow is January 1st, and Wednesday, January 3rd. So, but of course, you understand that you have to reconcile the solar year and the lunar year. But if you're looking for a day in the year, if you're looking for a day in our lunar calendar, which closely approximates to the real Pratzmach, it's really Tes Tevis. So some say that which says in Shulchan Aruch we don't know means to say he knew Shenemo, we don't talk about it, we don't talk about Mechlal. It's like my Rebbe Rav Gift always says that Rav Chaim Brisker said that the people Chazal don't like, they don't criticize them, they don't talk about them, and we condemn them to oblivion. The greatest punishment is not to talk about somebody and just to condemn them to oblivion. Meret Nishvegan say. So if we talk about Bilam already, it's a Madreg, it's a big schusrim that we should talk about Kairach and Bilam. But Yashka, we always mention vaguely in the Gemara, we don't talk about Yashka. Josephus, they didn't like really either, didn't talk about him too much. They like Philo. There's another Philo of Alexandria, another good example of what happened on Ches Tevis. Philo. His Hebrew name was Yedidya. Yedidya means lover of God. So Philo, love, philosophy, love. So Philo the Alexandrian was a Greek Jew, and he's a great philosopher, and but he destroyed Yiddish guy. It's a book. I forgot the name of his book. What's the name of his book? Follow his book. That's the name. Davistendizachen. What? It's a book. And his book is a philosophy book. The guy know from him. But he has a lot of distortion of Yiddish guy. There's like Josephus. Josephus. That's Shagas. Josephus, the biggest distortion. I think I told you last week about what he calls Hanukkah. Josephus, who holds himself. He held himself for Meshuv of Mochama. Josephus ben Flavius, that was his Roman name. His Jewish name is Yosef Ben-Gurion. He's the first Ben-Gurion, a good role model. So Josephus Ben-Gurion, so he held himself, he writes about himself, he was a Kohen Meshuv of Mochama. He's a big time of Chacham, the kind of Meshuv of Mochama, the time of the Korban, yeah? And he writes in his Antiquities, I didn't show it to you, in the Antiquities of the Jews, I have it. He says, you know, the 25th of Kisleos, which corresponds with the Greek month of Apollo, so in that month, there was a big victory of the Judas Maccabeus over the Greeks, and they went ahead and they made a holiday, and they light the candles on this holiday, and they call it the Chag Urim, the holiday of lights. I don't know why they light candles, he says. I don't know why they call it the holiday of lights. Probably because since it was very dark for them when they were under the impression of the Greeks, they called the holiday of lights. This is the Kohen Meshuach of Eisnish. You know, from the whole miracle of Hanukkah, and doesn't know from the Hadlakas Nair. Of course, his shita would go good with the, I told you last Monday, the shita of the, of Reb Shai Latrenk, that they didn't like his big, it's a chiddush, I don't even know you, but the mitzvah of Hadlakas Nair, they didn't start after the talk of the Churban. This is total amaratus. It's just unbelievable. How can you, I mean, how can you do that? I mean, how can you just ignore the whole Nais Hanukkah? I don't even know there's a mitzvah of Hadlakas Nair. If you say that they didn't start that till after the Churban, as long as you could hear it. But anyway, it's still pretty big amaratus. At any rate, so Reb Chaim Brisker said, we don't talk about Philo, Alexandrian, we don't talk about Josephus, we don't talk about Yashka really very much. We don't talk about all these bad people because the biggest punishment is just to ignore somebody. You want to punish somebody, ignore them. Okay, anyway, so some say the Tess Tavis is a Yashka, that's where it's coming from. Okay. But that's not what it says in Bear Gardens. It's Ezra Seifer. So since I follow it in Shulchan Aruch, and here it says Ezra Seifer, so it's Kedai to say a few words of Ezra Seifer today, which is what Tfilah is all about. So what the Chavis of Abba is saying here about a Nusach Kavua, really the Rambam elaborates on this in Hilchas Tefillah, and the Rambam says in the Tefillah, where he says it's mitzvah say to daven every day. So the Rambam says Azoy. So the Rambam here is how they're misaken the Tefillahs. He says originally everybody say whatever they want. And Vayiragil Marba Bitchino Bakosha. If a person originally was eloquent and he was accustomed to singing and to praying and to pouring his neshama out, so he's Marba. If he's Naral Svasayim, if a person was tongue twisted, he did whatever he could. Kefi Yecholta, Becholay Shiirtza, whenever he felt like it. And tefillahs originally were kol echad kefi yecholto. Yesh v'spal pamachas b'yom, sometimes once a day. Yesh v'spal pamacharbe, some people daven the whole day, they were davening here, davening there, always davening every red light. Everybody was davening towards the Beis HaMikdash. And chayei dover tamid m'moshe Rabbeinu ad Ezra. This is how tefillah went from Moshe Rabbeinu till Ezra. For approximately, right, for approximately about 800, 900 years, Moshe Rabbeinu to Ezra, this is how he davened. B'kevan, Shagol Yisrael b'mei Nebuchadnezzar Rosha, V'savu b'proras v'yavon. Interesting, Yidavka choose the big nations of the world. When the Yidden went to the Babylonian exile, didn't say they were mixed up with the Babylonians. They got Nesarvu in the Persians and the Greeks, who were the traditional, really the world empires of that time, actually. Persia and Greece were constantly fighting for centuries upon centuries. The Sharumas, the Nodlam Bonim, the Artsus HaGoyim, and they gave birth to kids amongst the Goyim, Vaisna Bonim, Nizbalbalu Sefosam, Vaisna Svask, and just, it's very fascinating that Dafkin goes Bavel, Nizbalbalu Sefosam. I never thought of that. That was obvious to you, right? Rabbi Yosef Chaim, Rabbi Yosef, I see it on his forehead, right? He says, of course, the Gol's Bavel, so Gol's Bavel was the second Tower of Bavel. That's the pshat. So the whole Tower of Bavel Hafil was like just a pale dimion. It was just a symbolic preview of what's going to be in the future. I see it on the print that over there. So, very fascinating. So he says the whole word, the Gol's, they went to Bavel, and it's Balbalu Sefosom. For Yisvas Kalecha Vecha Mureves, Milashoyna is Harbi, which is exactly what happened until the Tower of Bavel, everyone spoke Hebrew. And at the Tower of Bavel, Hashem created 70 languages. Lashon Kodesh. And Lashon Kodesh was corrupted into 70 languages. And not only that, we even lost some real Hebrew words in other languages, like Totafos. It's two in African and two in Chinese. What do we need? This is a Chinese thing over here. What am I wearing a Chinese box here? The Chinese checkers? What do I need? The Torah couldn't find anything better than the Chinese word and an African word for tzitzulim. Teretz says, name Zog the Shalah, Zog the Malvim. The Avad, the Tat, and Pat are Hebrew words, Lashon Kodesh words. But at the time of the Tower of Bavel, they got mixed into those 70 languages and they were lost from the regular lexicon of Lashon Kodesh for practical purposes. So when Rabbi Akiva says, I don't know what Tota Fos means, but I went to Africa, I went to China, and Tat is two in Africa, and Pat is two in Chinese, I rediscovered these real Lashon Kodesh words. So it's fascinating that when I went to Gulf Bavel, I never, Mama, you know, I've done this around a million times, never thought of this thing. That then in Bavel, the Ikur Gulf Bavel was the intellectual Gulf that had Bilbil Aloshon, Azoivis Given, over 3,000 years later, because Ezra lived in the year 3408, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, so 3,000, the Tower of Babel was in the year 1948. Avram was born, 1996 was it? It was 1996 was the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was 1996. 1996 was Tower of Babel. It's 340 years after the Mabel. The Mabel was 1656. That's 340 years after the Mabel was 1946. So 1946 in Bria Zaylam, which was 4 years before Torah, that's when it was Babel the Bilbil, and in the year 3408, he came back to Gol's Babel, we're talking here about 1400 years later. And the Golas was 1300 years later. Really fascinating.
But he says it's Yavan that they got. In other words, it was
Golas. No, it was Golas Babel. The Lashon is Golas. Kaven Shigalu Yisrael b'mein Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. And it was Golas Babel for 70 years. Because there was a Golas Babel for 70 years. But they went out to more places. The Sarv and Paras of Yavan. I never knew that Jews. I never knew that. Yeah, that's in Persia. But that's after the 70 years are over, my friend. The 70 years of Golas Babel go from 3-3. No, but the truth is again, you're right. That was a whole mistake. Does the Golas Babel mean Mamish Babel or does it mean Beyond Babel through Persian media? They're really talking through. It could have been over in the year 3-3. We go through 3390 with the death of Belshazzar. It could have been over with the death of Nebuchadnezzar's dynasty, which is 70 years. 45, 23, and 2. But in Lamaisa, it went carried over into Ahasuerus and Darius, who was a Persian. Yavan wasn't really, we don't ever talk about Yavan in Gaul's Babel. Yavan first starts 34 years later after Alexander destroys Darius. But that's what he says to Rambam, the Sarva Paras of Yavan and other nations, and they had children, Oysan Abon, this is Baal Balu Savasam, Voyasvas, Galech, Dechamu Reves, Melushan is Harbe. Every one of them were a lot of different Lushan, like we are today. You know, we say ciao, a little Italian, see, hasta la vista, you say people, you know, you speak a little, everyone speaks a little Spanish, right? You say, mucho trabajo, poco dinero, everybody knows, you know, right? Especially if you come from Washington Heights, you pick up these words. And you know, we know a little of it, a little Roman, a little Latin. We all know, if you realize that the United States, Lashon HaVaday, you look in the dictionary, the English today is a mixture of dozens of languages, everything in the world.
Like, yo, give me your money.
Yo, give me your money. That's it, yeah. So, or like brouhaha. Like brouhaha, right? Brouhaha, says the Oxford Dictionary, comes from the fact that in London, when the Jews would come on Shabbos, these Sephardic Jews, who didn't see them the whole week, or maybe you didn't see them from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, they would come to shul for the first time in a long time. Everyone would make a big fuss over them and say, Baruch Haba, Baruch Haba. And the corruption of Baruch Haba is Bruaha, Baruch Hara, Bruaha, Bruaha. That's where the word Bruaha comes from. So there's even some Hebrew in English. But
the word gringo.
Gringo, yeah.
When an Irish chief used to march and they used to say, bring you want to have a green rest home. And that became bastardized to gringo.
Gringo. I thought gringo's Americans only. It's English. Gringo's all English. Any rate, so they're all different. Mama's like today, really. This Bible's fasam. Everybody was more revis, more lashon is harbe. The king shayim adaver, and yachal adaver called tzarkoi, the lashon achas, el b'shibush. Nobody in the world could speak a sentence or a paragraph without mixing in other languages, and it was very mishubash. It was very mixed up. Shenemar b'neim chatzim medaber eshdoid is the pasuk. They spoke a little of this, a little of that. V'eina makirin levad Yehudis. They didn't know Yehudis. He calls Hebrew Yehudis. Not listen to Kodesh, Jewish. Yiddish. He calls it Yiddish. He calls Hebrew, Yiddish, uchaloshen am va'om. If neizek shoye echem mehen mespalel, tiktar l'shoynoi lishol chafetzav or lahagat shevach rosh baruch hu moshna kodesh. So when someone wanted to daven, he found himself inadequate. Tiktar l'shono, his speech was inadequate to ask for his needs or to praise the Rabbeinu Shlalom in Hebrew, Lashna Kodesh, Achi Arvima Lashon Zacharis, because he already, the minute he started speaking Hebrew, he couldn't speak Zoivi, Yiddish Heinz, even Yiddish today is very un-Yiddish, you know. He'll get moving the furniture in the Chalem in that truck, the Chadain down the street, and then he'll gain the Ayer house, and we'll just machen on Sunday, or machen there quick, you know. So there's no, all Yiddish is a big, there's nothing Yiddish about it. So, what? So, the Kevin Shiro Ezra Beis Dinoi Kach, Ezra and his Beis Din. This is called Ezra Beis Dinoi, called it Ezra Beis Dinoi. They saw this. Now it's really interesting. He calls Ezra Beis Dino, because it's, even though we know Ezra was like the head or the founder, it seems, of the Ajik Nesak Doila, you know, it's interesting. But actually, I must confess that the Rambam, No, that's not true, you see. Because if you look at Nagdama the Rambam, I want to say a chiddush, but there's two separate, I want to say a big chiddush, two separate entities, Ezra Beis Dino, and I said the Gdoila, and Mr. Brown's getting excited over here already, a big chiddush. It's not going to work. Because you look at the Rambam's Nagdama, and he gives you 40 generations of Messiah Satayra, the Rambam says, Ezra Beis Dino, Kibbalah Mubarak, and the Rio Beis Dino. Everything is Beis Dino, Beis Dino. So Beis Dino Shal Ezra, says the Rambam, Haim Hanikroyim, Achik Nesak Doila. Then Chage, Zachariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hanania, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah, Zachariah, Mord, Chebalshans, Rubavel, Harvey, Chachomim, Moim, Tashlim, Mayav, Esim, Zakenim. Achim, Mehem, was the Shimon HaTzadik. And he was one of them. The Kibel, Tarish, Balpem, Mikulam, Huya, Kohen Gadol, Acher, Ezra. Ezra was the Kohen Gadol first. Fascinating. But you hear what his basin was? What a crowd. Mom, is this the most, the basin of Ezra was, Mr. Jarisho? It was Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi. Daniel is still around. That means you don't hold Daniel's chasok. That means you hold his chasok. He got killed over there in the Megillah. Rebbe, we left him dead in the Megillah. So Daniel is still around in the second base of Mikdash. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah is still around. Nehemiah, Bechakalia. Mordechai is still around. Mordechai Balashan. And it's not like the sheet that says that Mordechai is Malachi and somebody else. The Megillah sounds like Mordechai Malachi. Zerubbabel. Harbi Chachamim Moyim. So Nevi'im, Chachamim, big things. So that's the Beis of Ezra. It was funny, it doesn't say over here that this is Ajik Nesak Doila.
And throughout, the period.
Well, it's 40 years, because Shimon HaTzadik died at the end of the 40 years, the first 40 years. So the whole thing is only 40 years. It's probably not more than 40 years. Zerubbabel brought them back in the year 3390. That was the beginning, that was Batal. The Batal was the first attempt to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he was... That's before the Purim story, actually. Zerubbabel is before the Purim story. Zerubbabel, in the year 3390, 18 years before the Beis HaMikdash was actually rebuilt in 3408, Zerubbabel was by Korash. Zerubbabel was the time of Korash. Korash is called Kosher, the Gemara says, because he gave Zerubbabel the money and the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. But Haman's sons, the Tsar Yehudim and Yamin, stopped him. But Zerubbabel was before Ahasuerus. He was in the time of Korash. And then after Korash and Daryavis and Korash, was the first Daryavish was the father-in-law of the Korash, and then Ahasuerus took over from Korash. That's the second Daryavish. Daryavis the second. Daryavis the first was with Korash, father-in-law and son-in-law. They killed Belshazzar. They took over the Melucha, and Daryavish was the king for a short time, then Korash took over, and I think it was 3393, that Achashverosh became the king, and Bishulashna Shalosh the Malcho in 3395, that's when the big party took place for 180 days. Anyway, so Zerubbabel is still alive, so it's a chiddush that Zerubbabel, who we sort of like, forgot about him in the year 3390, is still around in the year 3408. And they're all part of this Merid Dikachevra they had over here. This is a Shein and Wetzel Gzeli Atari they had over here in the Yasek Zazak Doila. The kids are getting far afield, so Mitzal Zazek and Nishmas Ezra, Ha Seifer. So, he says, Ezra Masakin, Kevin Shurez, Bezdino, Kach, Omdu, Vatikam, Shmon, Esri, Brachas, Allah, Seder. And why he says, Kedei, Shiyu, Aruchais, Befiakol. So, like, the word Aruch is like Shulchan Aruch. It should be set up in the mouth of everybody. The Yilmadu Aysan. Of course, in those days, it wasn't written down. It was all about pay, you know. Everyone had no sitter in those days. No sitter. Shiyu, Aruchais, Befikol. The Yilmadu Aysan, Vatia, Tfilas, Elu, Ha'alogim. And the prayer of the an alog, ayin lamed gimel is a mealy mouth. I would say the best word would be a mealy mouth. A guy who can't speak to a mealy mouth person, like the words don't come out. An alog is a person whose speech is ridiculous. He speaks in a way that only arouses ridicule and scorn because a kenish redden. Like he talks, one thing doesn't stick to another. Physically, he doesn't talk right, and even. You know, with a train of thought. There's no train of thought. He just says crazy things. We've seen plenty of, you know, rabbis like that. So, you know, it was, no. The alogim, tefillah shleima, tefillah bali, alosh natzacha. So he said, the alogim, the guys who cannot open their mouth up and say two words straight, now they could daven a tefillah shleima, tefillah bali, alosh natzacha. They can speak like the most grandiloquent, slick talkers. They can speak so smooth, gewalt. And because of that, the Masakin brachas and tzils mesudarais b'fi kol Yisrael, kidei shiyah inyan kol bracha aruch b'fi ho alog. I don't know why he repeats himself a second time. Why does he repeat himself? It's an extra lashon over here in the Rambam. He said it already. And then he said they did it like that. The alogim should be tzilah shlemek and tzilah ba'al rosh natzacha. And they inyan zeh tikna kol brachas and tzils mesudarais b'fi kol Yisrael kidei shiyah inyan kol bracha aruch b'fi alog. I don't know why he does that. Anyway, okay, he speaks more about it. So this is Ezra. Ezra is one of his greatest accomplishments was tefillah. And like the, I see that we have a lot of work to do here in this little, so Zagda Chavis Lavavis, not only did Ezra was Masakim to help Jews who couldn't speak Hebrew properly, and B'chlal, they didn't have a shprach with their Rabbeinu Shlom properly, it's the Pshat says the Chavis Lavavis that by having one Nusach Achid, that is a sign of humility. It is a sign that I'm not walking into a Rabbeinu Shlom with a shopping list and saying, hey God, okay, this is what I need today. And this is me talking to you. Who am I to talk to you, Rabbeinu Shlom? I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. So by saying a Nusach, okay, this is the they told me in school that if I want to get into a Rabbeinu Shlom, this is the magic formula. I'm not worthy of speaking to a Rabbeinu Shlom. Who am I to tell you what to do? But I'll follow the Rebbe said, if I open the sitter and I say such and such and such, it's going to help. Now, I must tell you, I'll conclude this, Rabbi, so you know, that tefillah is more than, this is very important, tefillah is much more than my personal bakashas. Tefillah is also, it does things in the whole world. It makes Yehudim in the ganze Welt. And in my Hagdama, to my Shonesri Sefer, I have a merzik of pshat, what it means tefillah as Yehudim. It's like, you know, I'm just explaining what the Nefesh HaChaim says. Nefesh HaChaim says is that the Antioch and Sagdoila, because they had a lot of Nevi'im, it was the only organization in history which had so many Nevi'im on the same board of directors. They were the last Nevi'im, Chag and Zechariah Malachi, and the Rambam threw in here Daniel, Daniel and Mordechai and Hanani Mishael Azariah, big people. And wow. Hanani Mishael Azariah, but members like Zagdoma. I'm telling you, I never paid attention to this Rambam. You see, you have to learn something. I learned this Rambam Zagdoma to Tiara Chazaka, believe me. It's not 100 times, never. And I never noticed the names of these members in Akhtar Zagdoma according to Rambam. They're amazing. We have to look in his Perisha Mishnah. Elvis, to see if he says the same thing over there. I wonder if he says the same thing. But yeah, take out the Rambam, take out the Elvis. And open up to the first Mishnah there, you know, in Elvis, in back of the Zohar, and see what he says about the Antioch Sagdol. He says any such interesting things. Shimon Tzadik, Hoy Mishiori Antioch Sagdol. See if he says something over there about the Antioch Sagdol. Very interesting what he says here. Anyway, so the Nevi Shachaim says the reason why he needed the Nevi'im. What do you need the Nevi'im? Go get some guys in the Hebrew University who are good Hebrew speakers, guys who know Hebrew very well, good grammarians, good Hebraists, and we'll make a lashon of a Shmoneh Esrei. Why do you have to have Nevi'im? So he says that the Anjeg Nezak Doila
inserted in every word of Shemoneh Esrei and every bracha. There are secret formulas which accomplish things in the whole Bria and keep the whole Bria going from the day they wrote it till Bias the Mashiach, and no two tefillahs are alike. And every tefillah accomplishes something else in the world. And all those jillions of stars out there are affected. Shemoneh Esrei, only Shemoneh Esrei. That's the Iker. Now, my marshal to that is that we, when we daven, are like the guy in the NASA Space Center in Houston. Where's NASA? Dallas? Or Houston, Texas, Space Command Control, da-da-da. So the guy over there was given the secret code by NASA. There's got, so there's a, so there's a place, some space probe going out to Mars, and it's millions of miles from the Earth over there. And you got to keep it on cargo all the time. But this is top secret, and no one's left to know it. So, but they have to have a guy sitting by the console typing in the instructions. So he knows one thing. He knows he has to type. They give him a shtickle nusuf to type. But he doesn't know how it's being recoded in the secret encryptors. There's encryptors there deep in the bowels of the computer. And this is mamash what happens, that he's just typing A, B, C, D, F, G. But that really is interpreted into all kinds of different signals and messages to tell the challenger which way to go and how to go millions of miles away. A doesn't know for nothing. This guy has no idea what... It could be not even telling him it's for the challenger. It could be telling him to go type in A, B, C, D, F, that this is for a kid website, NASA kids website. He's typing in A, B, C, the Sesame Streets, or NASA Sesame Street site, because they can't share this information with such a nobody. But he's typing. But the mice, not even realize what he's typing, his typing is being encrypted and sending out messages to something millions of miles away. He has no struggle he's accomplishing, and he's doing major things in conquering Mars. Same thing when we daven, we have no asaka. So we're doing two things. There's a personal aspect of tefillah for ourselves, that's true. But really the tefillah is mamish, keeping up the entire Bria, and it's affecting the world in ways that are beyond the comprehension. And every single minute requires a different tikkun. That's why the world is always 24 hours, always somebody in the world praying. And the prayers, says the Mesh HaChayim, the prayers for chakras are different than mincha is different than Meir, and Meir is different than next chakras, and Musaf and Nila is no comparison, no two tzilos are alike. And it was all programmed by the Anche Knesses HaGadoyla. It's unbelievable. So, I was thinking about it today, the Chavad Ezra Sofer, because it's also called Sofer, you know, because he counted all the letters of the Torah, and he counted all the letters of Shemoneh Esrei. He was Sofer. He was a scribe. Not saying a scribe, he wrote Sefer Torah. He counted the letters of the Torah, he counted the letters of the Tanakh, he counted the letters, and you know, if you look at my Sefer Shemoneh Esrei, you'll see that according to the Torah, there's an exact number of letters and words in every bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. It's unbelievable, the cheshbon. There's a reason for the exact number. That's why it's good to have a very clear nusach of Shemoneh Esrei to know, because it makes a difference. And like the first example is, you know, the perfect example is Hashiveinu. The Torah says Hashiveinu, Avinu Sarasecha, has a certain amount of words in it, and it corresponds to Psukim Lagabi Tshuva, and Hashiveinu starts with a Hey, and ends with the letter Hey also, because Hey is the letter of Tshuva, and Hey together is 10, 5 and 5 is 10, and therefore he says that when you're saying Hashiveinu, it's like Naseris Me Tshuva. So this is the least kavanah I can have when I say Hashiveinu every day. It's like I'm holding my Seres Mei Tshuva, because Hey Hashiveinu, and Haretz of Tshuva is a Hey, and 5 and 5 is 10. And this is a simple cheshbon. This is cheshbonis of cheshbonis, and then the Torah brings down the end. If you take the initial letters of every one of the brachos from Esrei, like, you know, Atachon is Aleph, Hashiveinu is a Hey, Tzlachon is a Samach, Refeinu is a Reish, right? Hashiva Shoteinu is a Hey, Shmaklein is a Shin. If you take the initial letters of all the letters of Shemoneh Esrei, of the brachos, the sum total of their value will be 1,800, which you can negate 1,800 malachi ashari, so listen to every tefillah you have, and they fly it up to Shemayim for you, Federal Express, and then they were replaced with UPS, and they bring it to the Baruch Shalom. So, I mean, how many Jews in the world know that? How many Jews, I read my Sefer, but if they had, and we don't expect everyone to buy the Sefer, you know? So, seriously, who read the Torah? And even the Orthodox Jews, maybe 91% know this, but it's happening. So there's an aspect of Shemoneh Esrei that the secret code that we don't even know what's going on, that we're accomplishing big stuff. I would say though, even though the Rambam paskins, the Allah Dab B'chol Lashon, Tfilah B'chol Lashon, it's okay, I believe that only would work, that only works for the aspect of my personal shopping list. That is what Tfilah is doing for me, that I have a communication with the Rabbanu Shalom, and Tfilah is a way that I can pour my heart to the Rabbanu Shalom, Lagabi that feels good B'chol Lashon. But this esoteric
mystical power of tefillah, that tefillah has this encrypted code that, you know, that's only Hebrew letters, because the whole Bria was created with Hebrew letters, and it's got to be Hebrew. There's no substitute for Hebrew. I mean, it's just not shayach. I mean, you can make matzah out of sawdust, and you can make believe it's matzah. That's very, very nice, but it's just not matzah. I mean, it's just not matzah. It's very, very nice. You know, you tried very hard, and you can put on tefillah your whole life, but missing one letter, or one letter is broken, you just don't have tefillin, it just don't work, because you gotta have these letters in here. For the tefillin broadcast to work, you gotta have a certain letters written a certain way. So do Shmonesi. For Shmonesi to play on the Bria in the way that the Atzik Zeli wanted to play, I'm saying this off the top of my head, that it's only daven in Hebrew. The chiyuv of tefillah drabon, the daven 3 times a day, for yourself, so to speak, I have a personal obligation to speak to God 3 times a day. You said it in English is also good. But the kayak and the Bria, the real power to really transform things, only is if it's the Mamash Lashon Kodesh, but the world created Lashon Kodesh. That is the binary code. Nothing else will help. Rabbi, so we have to continue next week. We're way over time.
But Schus Ezra Asayfa Yagin Aleinu.
Okay. Rabbi says, so we are concluding the 9th meditation in Shaar Chesh B'na Nefesh, 9th out of 30. And we've been spending a few weeks on this, the meditation, about how davening tefillah should become internalized, should become a very personal experience. And the Chofetz Chaim goes on to say that when a person davens, he has to visualize that he is bringing a tremendous sense of calm over himself. Hashbei says, Gufcha mikol tnu oisefa. Davening, you are stopping all activity, all physical motion. Kivol es chushecha ves rayonecha melasok v'abdavish v'olam. When a person is involved in davening, his body is still, even his senses and his thoughts, the outside daydreaming, the thoughts that are constantly racing through our minds, we have to make a conscious effort to freeze everything. Everything is on hold, everything is on freeze. That takes a lot of preparation and self-discipline. And then the tefillah goes, you know, in Japan, they're very, if you know, in Japan, they're very into ritual, and it's a clown to orient. But they still maintain today many of their old martial arts, and the samurai, etc., but it's done in a ceremonial way. And the archers who practice archery in the ancient way, and so they're sort of the royal guards of the emperor, Akito. So, obviously they're not going to protect him too well with their arrows and their bows and arrows, but they use archery as a form of meditation. And before they even think about shooting an arrow at a target, they first kneel with their bows and they put themselves into a very clear, composed mental state, and then they say that if your mind is straight, then you don't even have to aim. The arrow will fly straight of its own. The main thing is to aim your mind. If the mind is straight, and I've gotten rid of all things that are disturbing me, and I have quieted the incessant throbbing and drumming of my brain and thoughts that drives driving, I can't even think straight. So if I manage to straighten out my mind and I put the arrow in front of me, it'll fly straight to the target of its own. It is the mind that has to be aimed and not the arrow. And that's what all the Rishonim and the Chavos Levavos perhaps most eloquently say, that really we daven in a very unsophisticated way. We should really learn from a lot of the meditative arts of the world. It's a sad thing that it doesn't come across that Jewish prayer is a meditative activity, and that a shul is a place of serenity, an island of tranquility. A shul doesn't have that connotation as an island of tranquility, a place of composure, where everyone comes and you see such people on a level of thought and calm people, they have it all together. That doesn't seem to be the kind of a connotation that a shul has. So he says, no, that's what it should be. He says that the whole, otherwise the prayer is not prayer of the heart, it's prayer of the mouth. Again, he says, Hashbez is gufcha mekotno isecha before you daven. Doesn't mean while you're davening you can't shuckle. It means to say that when you begin the davening, you are making a conscious effort. We make a conscious effort to, our body is like frozen. Our senses, we're not looking for any sensual, stimulation. And I try constantly to have my mind quiet from all of the thoughts. I have to free my mind of all its other external thoughts. And I only want to think about the activity at hand, which is talking man to man, face to face, mouth to mouth with the Rabbi Shalom. He says, of course, he gives a metaphor, a marshal, if you just express your gratitude to him. You would have thought about it many, many days. You would write the speech down, write it again, another draft. How are you going to thank him? You have nothing else in your mind. While you're talking to the king, you'd be totally mesmerized, transfixed on him. So certainly if we have an opportunity for an audience with Hashem, we should certainly take the opportunity. And he says, he says, remember one thing, that the Rabbi Shalom is a very, very busy person, you imagine. He has a lot of shuls to go to every morning. Many, many shuls. And you don't have to be in shul to daven. There's people who are davening not in shul. And the Rabbi Shalom is Shomea Tfilas Kolpeh. Hashem hears the prayers of every mouth, even from a goy. Hashem doesn't only go to shul. He goes to anybody who prays, who believes in Hashem. If you believe in God, even if you have a distorted image of what Judaism is or what, but as long as you believe in one God, there's one God. Hashem Shomea Tfilas Kolpeh. If the prayer is addressed to the one God, then people can be in the most unsophisticated kind of prayer situation, and they daven to God, and Hashem listens to it. We don't have a monopoly, and shuls don't have a monopoly, and the sitter is not the only way to daven to Hashem. And with the rice, you don't even have to daven from a sitter. From the Torah, it's not necessary. So, we'd imagine that Hashem is inundated with prayers. I think like the heavenly Kisei covered, like, you know, like a million fax machines coming in. Here's one from Mexico, and here's a fax from 3 years from Muncie, and here's 14 from Williamsburg, and 15 from Borough Park, and 29 fields from Bnei Brak, any one given second, and 52 from the Kotel. And, you know, it's coming all over the place. Hashem pays attention, says the Chavos, to every prayer individually. There's no such thing as Hashem is, if you want to speak about him in human terms, Hashem has time and patience to the extent that a person prays calmly to Hashem and concentrates. To that extent, Hashem, so to speak, concentrates on his prayer and accepts it with absolute love and mamash, as if this is the only person, if a person comes to a level of meditation, that there's nothing in the world but Hashem right now. Ain od milvado, nothing but God. So that's how Hashem listens to his prayer. And he can do that for millions of people at the same time. And then, he says something very interesting. He says, he has a very interesting lashon of what prayer is. If someone could just give me back, give me a tillum over there, this little tillum down there. Down there still, no, give me that, there, there. Okay, thank you. So, he says like this, he says, thank you. How could it be that you do otherwise? How could you not daven with ne'monos? Hari atfilo nimtseis biyotcha v'tor ne'monos v'pikod ne'meis aborit. Prayer, he says, very interesting lashon he uses. He says, prayer is a pikodin. It's a deposit, like something Hashem gave you for safekeeping. Shari hu mosar es tochna liyotcha v'nosan oisa l'rishuscha v'apechad en mestaka le'zulosoi. So this is such it's like a personal deposit that Hashem gave you and that gave us, and we have to deal with it in a honest and responsible fashion. So, very interesting lashon that tefillah is a pikadon. Now,
I believe that there's a pasuk in Tehillim which reflects this idea that the prayer itself is a gift from Hashem. It's like Hashem gives us a tefillah in our mind every day. Hashem puts the words in our heart, and Hashem just says, "Well, give it back to me." I don't even expect. How can a person speak to Hashem? It's really a little bit too much to expect of us. After all is said and done, Hashem is very, very distant. He's close, but he's distant. He's beficha v'levavcha, and yet Hashem is out of this world. It's a very difficult contradiction to reconcile. Hashem is out of this world, and yet he's beficha v'levavcha. Kikar v'adav relecha ma'oid, beficha v'levavcha, tshuva, tfila, these are all in our heart and our tongue. So David Melech has a lashon. He says in the end of Kapitel Samav Vav, Pasuk Yutes Nachav, Samav Vav, Achein Shom Elohim, indeed I believe that Hashem, in truth, listens to me. Hikshiv Bekol Tfilasi, he paid attention to the sound of my prayer. Baruch Elohim, blessed be Hashem, Asher Lo Heisir Tfilasi V'chasto Meiti, who has not turned away my prayer or his kindness to me. He has not taken away my prayer. In other words, prayer is a thing. Prayer is like a cheftza. David HaMelech describes prayer as being something that's inside me. And Hashem could take it away from me. It's like a gift from Hashem. And thank heavens he hasn't taken it away from me. Because it's really a gift to be able to have a sense of davening to Hashem. It's a big gift. You know, you see the lashon, Baruch Elohim Asher Lo Heisir Tfilasi V'chasto Meiti. Thank you, Hashem, for not taking away my prayer and my sense of gratitude for your kindness from me. The Baltic. As we said, tefillah is a pikadon. I had for lunch yesterday, I told you, these boys who came here for Shabbos from Or Eliezer, wonderful, wonderful young men, and each one of them is a story. So I had a boy with me who comes from a totally anti-religious family, given Tzaras through us. I didn't realize he's a very mature boy, and he looks like at least 15, 16, I thought he was 15 at least. I just was bar mitzvah last week, 2 weeks ago. And amazing little kid, you know, mamish, this kid, he makes it his business to get a bracha for bar mitzvah, made a business. He says he became frum on Rosh Chodesh Av, this year, he just came frum. He taught himself Hebrew this summer. He worked in order to buy himself a Borsellino and a black jacket so he could look like a yeshiva bachur. He realized later on that Rosh Chodesh Av, when he decided to come from, which means he started putting on a kippah and wearing, and buy, he put himself a pair of tzitzis and started wearing them outside. Everyone made fun of him, of course, in his family, so it was crazy. Especially since members of his family are going to marry Goyim. So you can imagine where these people come from. And he realized later on, this kid picked this up. He went to get a bracha from the Heintzik above the Rebbe, and somehow I realized in that process that the Friedrich Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, Zechus Yochan Aleinu, so the Rebbe was nifter on Rosh Chodesh Av. So he likes, he has a regish that, like, you know, the day the Rebbe died, like, that was the day, like, Osiris for me to become a Baal Tshuva, 13-year-old. He wasn't the Bar Mitzvah yet. Maybe somehow he got a bracha for a palm before his bar mitzvah. He got a bracha for the gedolim before his bar mitzvah. It's amazing. The little kid. Someone was so impressed with him, they bought him a beautiful pair of tefillin. So a beautiful, beautiful young man. And it's very difficult for him. Very difficult. He has to travel every day to this yeshiva by bus. An hour and a half each way. He has to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to get up time for yeshiva. An hour and a half to get back home. His biggest problem is in his neighborhood. It's hard to find a meyer at night. There's in Canarsie. Not so much Myers, not so many Myers going on in Canarsie. So, it's getting quite dark over there. So, he tells me, what does he tell me? He tells my wife and myself, he says, you know, Baruch Hashem, I have such a geschmack, and I want to teach other Yidden Torah. I want to be a car of other children. Very mature. I only worried about one thing. I shouldn't lose my inspiration. I'm afraid. Now I know I'm strong. Now I know I feel great inspiration. I know I feel very high. I feel very dedicated. But I'm afraid I shouldn't lose it. He says, he realized the gift from Hashem that this is Cyrus for tshuva, habal l'tayr, a 13-year-old kid. He's bar mitzvah 2 weeks ago. December 25th or 26th, he's bar mitzvah. He said, I only daven now, I shouldn't lose it.
I shouldn't lose it. He understands that the gift, it's true, it is a gift from Hashem. And many people, all of us, have a sorrows for tshuva occasionally, and then we lose it, and we have to daven not to lose it. So the Chavis of says that davening itself is a gift from Hashem. The idea that I really want to daven to Hashem, I have this sense that Hashem is listening and there's a dialogue going on. This is a great, it's a pikadon. He says, Ariatfila nimseis biyadcha betar nemonos a pikadon meis haboire. It's Hashem trusted you with tefillah. It's a gift. And he only gives it to people who deserve it. It's a merit of gezach. And he says on this, the pasuk in Tilum Kufalef, Einai b'ne'emne eretz. The Rabbi Shimon says, my eyes are on those who are faithful on the earth. L'sheves imadi, the people who want to sit with me. They want to sit with the Rabbi Shimon. Hoylech b'der, Tomim, the person who goes with innocent faith. Who Yeshua is saying, that person, only he, do I want to serve me. You think everybody can be Hashem's servants? You think everyone can be Hashem's bodyguard in his personal retinue? No. Einai, I put my eyes and I put my full attention on Nemenei Eretz, on the people who are honest and getrai, meaning they have a sense that every Isiris is a gift from me, it's a pikadon. I've deposited, I Hashem deposited that very inspiration to daven to me in them. And they want to be with me, l'sheves imadi, ha'ilev b'ter, tamim hu yishar seini. The person who will serve me is the person who has that innocent kind of faith. But, if you don't daven with your tongue and with your heart, as you should, b'tor ne'emon, as a person who's a trustee, we are all trustees, we are prayer trustees. So then he says, you're just the opposite. Hin chanimne ben eila hamayalim. Then you are a traitor, a moyel. A moyel is a traitor who has betrayed the nemonah, the trusteeship that Hashem has given. And in regard to such people, it says, Nazinu, Hidor tapuchai seima. They are a topsy-turvy, upside-down generation. They dray everything around. They're a bunch of drayers. Bonim loy emun bom. They're not trustworthy. I can't trust them. So prayer is the litmus test to a person's nemonah, how honest we are with our trusteeship with Hashem. A person uses the prayer properly and davens with a sense, I owe it to Hashem. Hashem gave me the tzaris to daven. I owe it to give it back to Him. With a sense of trusteeship, fine. Otherwise, we go into the category of moyalim, traitors, and conspirators against Hashem, dor tapuchais, a topsy-turvy generation, bonim loyim abam, untrustworthy. Imagine if Hashem tells you untrustworthy, you're not a trustworthy person. It'd be very startling to hear that. Someday we might hear that. So he says, that is what prayer is all about. That is what prayer is all about. So here, this is what the Chofetz Chaim says about tefillah. That is the ninth meditation. The tenth meditation is Azoy. He says, my dear friend, he says, the tenth meditation that a person should make should be that a person should recognize that not only Hashem is watching us all day and all night and watching our external activities, He's watching our hands whether they are dishonest, He's watching our lips whether they're saying the wrong things, but we should know with all of our hearts that Hashem sees our insides, our inner thoughts and feelings exactly as clearly as He sees our external activities. Hashem sees it all. And we know, we put a lot of effort into that nice fancy tie. Every couple of weeks you pass by that store where you have your ties. Make sure maybe a new shipment of some good ties. Tie, you gotta spend a lot of money for a good tie, you know, it's not easy. No way, that's why plain black, you know. Can't be the cheap polyester. Make sure it's 100% Italian silk. You gotta get a nice tie. Gentleman's Boutique on 16th Avenue. That's where you get the ties. Must spend $100 on a tie. Gentleman's Boutique. And, there's a Chaim shaking his head. Here's a cheaper place. Oh, yeah. He's got a bargain, but let me get to know if the davening. But,
$3 for $10
on John Street. Nah, I wouldn't even step into such a place. I wouldn't want to even see them. I wouldn't be caught dead in such a place. Anyway, please. Horrible.
No, you want to buy a tie, it takes a lot of avoida. A tie is not avoida. You have to go and search for the right tie. And the proper suit, it's not supposed to be a proper suit. And of course, the ultimate is your new borsellino. That is a real avoida. If you ever watch the Yeshiva Bachram and Bancroft, the way the ma'ayin, alavayda shu ma'ayin, and the shver taisvis, like the ma'ayin is shver borsellino. Hours. Because I used to go with all my five sons. I was there for, I spent a bit of time over there. But I see Bachram, chashim Bachram, hours. Azoy and Azoy. First, I had to find the right crown, the right brim, the chayach. As a matter of fact, I was sitting. I went for a certain reason to the hafto here, Erev Shabbos, and I was just sitting there talking to the proprietors. And so some kid walks in. He thought I was working behind the counter because I was talking. So he said, "Can you help me?" I said, "I'm just the mashgiach over here." Mashgiach, and I had to. I have to make sure the brims are the sheer chaznish. That has to be a. So if you want to know if it's the right shear, come to me. I'll measure. It's big enough for you. But otherwise, it don't work here. I'm only in the brims. I'm in charge of the brims, and that's it. So anyway, that's right. So Zog the Chavis Levavas, he says, boy, people are miskashet, malbushim, achitoivim, kefi yecholteinu. We decorate ourselves, adorn ourselves, embellish ourselves with the fanciest clothing we can get, as much as we can afford, the more that we can afford. And certainly, if you'd be invited to 600 Pennsylvania Avenue to meet the president, you'd vaday pshinat shayach, what you would do. So he says, and like Esther herself said, "Kein lova yoshar melech belevush sak." Mordechai said, "It can't come like that." So, or even Paro, he says, "Vayishlach Paro v'yikrael Yosef v'yitzum na'bor v'yigalach v'yichalik simleis." It was Rosh Hashanah, and Yosef still had a shave Rosh Hashanah. He was shaved. He changed his clothing. So you're going in front of a king. You have to have beautiful clothing. So too, when we daven to Rabbanu Shalom, we daven every morning. Come to shul, you daven. You have to wear nice clothing to davening. Nice suit, nice tie. Take off your galoshes and come to davening. Come to davening, it's a snowy day. You wouldn't walk around. If you walk around your living room with your galoshes, with your wife's going to throw you out, you're in big trouble. But you come to davening, I'm too lazy to take off my galoshes, so I daven with my galoshes on. Huh? You wouldn't do that at work. Maybe. I hope you wouldn't. Hope you wouldn't do it in your living room. I don't think your wife would let you away with it. But the davening, people tramp in with the galoshes on. Azoidas. That's how it is. They don't do that. He says that. So for davening, for sure, the outside has to be beautiful. I must, you come in. I mean, there's these, the factory, the mincha factories. People come in. They wear their overcoat. Really, you take your overcoat off for davening. I must say, every now and then I go to Landau's quite frequently. I go to Brooklyn. So in the freezing winter, I leave my coat on. I must confess, when it's really cold over there, because people, I also leave my coat on sometimes. But that's just take your coat off, take your scarf off. Benachas, if you're davening already, take off your galoshes, if you don't think they get stolen, you put them in a safe place. If it's possible, Baruch Hashem, here with, you're not going to get stolen. If you go to a place like Shomer Shabbos in Bar Park, maybe it's better to keep your galoshes on. You might not find them. Not going to steal it, it's not going to get mixed up. Okay, I can appreciate that. You go there, but if you're a normal shul, you take off your jacket, you take off your coat, take off your scarf, you daven like a mensch. But he says more important than the outside is the inside. He says, this requires a lot of discussion. He says, if they should call him, he says, madoch a person has to make himself look presentable for the Rabbanu Shlom on the outside before he davens. Kol shekein, pikama, how many times more? Roy lanu v'chayavamanu, it's appropriate and we're responsible. L'skashet l'fnei Hashem, v'avodaso v'pnimi yuseinu, u'belibeinu. How much more must we beautify our insides? So how can we go to daven and still maintain? We have some hatred against somebody right now. We're angry at somebody. Can we be angry at Hashem too? We're full of anger, bitterness. We're full of all kinds of terrible thoughts. We have other thoughts we shouldn't be thinking. We're thinking things at the source of the street still. We're thinking what we read about 15 minutes ago. It's amazing. And I tell you, it's there for a person. I mean, like, it's like, the more you say, not even supposed to daven from a halacha psuka. You're not supposed to daven from a halacha, unless you finish the halacha. If you love learning, you can't just go from a bit of learning, even from learning directly into davening, because your mind is still tumult. certainly a person turns over the television set and he runs to shul for Mincha Meiris. I'm not saying anybody who watches television before Shachar wouldn't dream of such a thing. But maybe someone's running to shul before Mincha Meiris, they just watched a program. You'll never get out of your head anyway, but you cannot get out of your head. You watch this video, you listen to this crazy tape, you listen to this crazy music. You're not going to get out of your head. How can you daven like that? So it's your pnimius. It says, mekashit your pnimius many times more than your chitzanius for davening. So it's hypocritical just to put your tie on for davening and put your gartel on. So how many people put the gartel on for davening? And outside they look, oh, he come across the kecha, and inside their brain there's all kinds of garbage spewing forth. So he said, and also tear this, think about business, think about the deal I'm going to make, think about the profit I'm going to make. Hashem knows everything, he says. Ani Adonai Choyker Leivoich and Kloyois. The Navi Yirmiyah says, Ani Hashem, I am God, who examines your heart, and I test your kidneys. Kidneys really means, kidney is a filtration system. I question, just like the kidney filters the blood, intellectually, kidneys also represent the intellectual filtration system. How well have you filtered our thoughts to be pure to Hashem? I know, says Hashem. You can't fool me. I know everything. And it says in Mishlei, "B'chol Mokayim, Einei Adonai Tzayfais, Royim V'Tayvim." Every place, everywhere, the eyes of God are watching the good and the bad. And the Navi Zechariah says, "Einei Adonai, Heima Meshotetim B'chol Aretz." The eyes of God are scanning. So you go into the bank, and you have that ubiquitous camera watching wherever you go. It's following you. That camera. You can walk this way. You walk that way, the camera is following you. It's every place, not just banks. Everywhere you go, that eye is following you, it's watching you, where you're going. And you know, you go, oh, and everyone goes to the airport when you have to be scanned, you know. Everyone gets scanned when they go through a security check. It's really a joke, the security, I'll tell you. But the mice, they check you. I always get beeped because I always have a face, something on me. I always have something metal. I get beeped and I go, Nachamo. And not only have to think, where's it beeping from? Where's it beeping from? And you see the x-ray and they're looking at you. He says, learn a lesson from that, says the Chavos of Avos. Mad if you're going through airport security. They're checking the pneumius of your baggage and they're checking what's inside your pockets. And they're mocking on security because if there's no security, you can blow up the plane. So every individual has to do security check on himself before the whole day. We have to do security check on ourselves. We might be carrying explosive midas rois, explosive bad thoughts, all kinds of stuff that can poison and ruin our lives. And the Rebbe is watching. Hashem is constantly, it's all being recorded by the Rebbe Shalom. You might get away with it, but he's going to get you. And I know there's a crook in our neighbor. The guy's a con artist. So I said, how's he going to get away with all this? He said, don't worry. He's under federal investigation. He doesn't know about it. But he's going to get caught someday. They will get caught eventually. All the criminals think that no one's watching. But the feds are on the guy's case, and they're watching, they're looking up his records and his taxes, and when they get their case built against them, they don't close in until the case is complete. So if the FBI doesn't close in, the FBI was tracking and stalking John Gotti for a long time until they got John Gotti. They were stalking, the DA was stalking the whole mafia for a couple of years, then they got 44 chevrot together, then they made the big dragnet, then you get them. Hashem works the same way, and Hashem is more patient than the FBI and the DA. And he can wait 10 years and 20 years. He's building a big case against every one of us. Just because of John Gotti flashing there for it. John Gotti was doing great. He was going around in Cadillacs and with bodyguards and big diamonds and cigars in the house on the island. And John Gotti was doing just great for 10, 20 years at the top of the world. He could knock people off at that will and then the Chayach. Doing great until one fine day, the feds got him and now he's in jail forever. So, same thing with every one of us at the Chavos of Avos. The Rebbe Shalom's watching, he's building a case, and so he's waiting, he might wait 80 years. But when he slams us, Rachman Islam, we're gonna get slammed and doomed forever. The longer he waits to build up the case, the worse it is for us. Because he's got the goods on us. The Rebbe Shalom's got the goods. So don't think because it's going good for us now, that Hashem must forgive me, Hashem really forgot. I gave some tzedakah, I gave the appeal yesterday for the Yemenite Jews, Hashem, that definitely eradicated everything. That cleaned me out entirely. I gave money to the Yemenite Jews. The rabbi likes me. God must like me. Just because I like you doesn't mean God likes you. I like everybody. You know, I like big sinners. I have to be known to love big sinners. I love myself. So I love myself. So you see that I can love the biggest. I'm very forgiving. I'm very tolerant. I'm most tolerant to me. So don't bring any proof of me. If I love you, it doesn't mean anything about their bunch. I'm sorry. I wish it would. Be great. I wish I had that power. It doesn't work that way. So says the Chavos of Avos, You gotta watch the inside. Hashem is watching our inside. He's building the case against us. The inside is more important than the outside. Let me just conclude this point though, because I want to this point is powerful. So the Chavos Lavos says that a person will constantly make an effort to clean up our insides and get rid of the greed and the anger and even the worry and the fear, all the things that bother us, because I believe that everything is in the hands of the Rabbanu Shalom. If a person says, Hashem, I want to let you into my life, let me clean out my inside, my thoughts. And only Hashem can do it for us. Again, it sounds impossible. It's only impossible if we want to do it ourselves. We just have to be aware that we got to clean up our insides. I think clean up our brains. Hashem, clean up my brains. I have some very improper attitudes, a lot of bad attitudes, a lot of pride, a lot of prejudice, a lot of hatred, a lot of bitterness, a lot of jealousy. A lot of, Hashem, help me clean it out. I'll give it over to you one at a time, Hashem. When I give it to you, clean it out. I can write it down also. It's another good way. Write it down. Hashem, help me dispose of this. I'll see it in front of my eyes. I'll rip it up, Hashem. As I rip this up, please, there's somebody I can't stand for the last 35 years. Help me get out of my system, Rav Shalom. I'm helpless. But as a person cleans out his insides, then Hashem, and the person always wonders, I learn so much and I forget everything. I learn so much. I go to shul so often. I'm still so unholy. How could I have been going to shul for the last 45 years and I'm still such a trash, profane person? And my brain is still full of so much profanity. I have so many things in my head and the words I use and the thoughts I think. And what's going on? I've been going to shul for all these years, wearing tefillin all these years, and it hasn't helped very much. What is this with religion anyway? It doesn't seem to help anyway. Where's all that sanctity? Because on the inside, nothing has changed. And you went to shul and you put in tefillin with all the junk inside. It doesn't help. But when a person says, I just woke up, that the main thing to clean up is my inside, Hashem help, I'm opening myself up. So first of all, so you're going to shear so many years now, and everything you learn goes in one ear or the other. It doesn't stick. You know why? Because tumah throws away all the kedusha. A brain, with the brain that's bad stuff in the brain, the good stuff can't remain over there. Says the Chavos Lavos, once a person decides, I gotta clean out my refrigerator. You ever see your wife clean out the refrigerator with all the moldy old vegetables and all the junk and all the stuff in the back over there that, has a mold forest over there and blue and green and all kinds of colors. So we have moldy, yucky thoughts and gotta get rid of it finally. No room in the refrigerator for some fresh food. And if you put fresh food in, the old spores will ruin the new food because the old junk in the back is gonna contaminate it. So he says, open your heart to the Rabbanu Shalom. Reveal the secrets to the Rabbanu Shalom. Confess your old deep dark secrets for the Rabbanu Shalom. Ask Hashem to madrich you, give you an hogan and hadracha. Ask Hashem, I'm so weak, Hashem, I need you to walk me, mamash, walk me step by step to the road to purity and cleanliness. Hashem, help me. Because, and we don't clean up our, there's no room for the brachas. Hashem wants to give us brachas, but our refrigerator is full of junk, and our pockets are full of garbage, our spiritual pockets, our intellectual pockets, our emotional pockets are so full of garbage, Hashem can't send us a bracha. He wants to make us rich, healthy, wealthy, happy, successful, shaduchim, panos, everything, but we're so full of junk, he says, I can't get in. So we start cleaning out. I love throwing out junk. It's good to throw out junk outside, junk too. I love cleaning my drawers all the time. Because that reminds me to clean out my inside drawers. But it's good to, I love throwing out shirts that are here, the shred, throw it out. Don't miss it, a weird dafka, frayed old shirt, socks with the holes in them, no one darn socks. No one gives a darn anymore. No one darn socks anymore. It's not gonna happen. It's not worth the effort. Don't throw it out. Doesn't fit anymore. Throw it, the last thing is no good. Throw it out. The t-shirts are, throw it out. And that reminds me, we gotta throw out the old stuff. You can't stay with the old stuff. You have to have new attitudes, new opinions. You gotta have new. And then he says his famous words, with which I'll conclude. This is from the classic lines of the Chavos Lavos. He says, when a person begs Hashem to help him clean out his insides, I said, I'm too weak. He said, Hashem, roi lo yachzor. Hashem, you are my shepherd. You will guide me. I'll be missing for nothing if you guide me. Then he says, good to say that kapitel from the beginning to end, 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say that as your house cleaning. You'll be in the highest madrega, he says. Don't think for a second you'll be great. Yamav madrega al yayna b'yaisa shal madrega sachasidim. You're in the highest level of devotion and piety in the world with this. Like the highest level of chasidim. He says, you'll be the highest level of tzaddikim. And this is where he says the line that some people love here very much. The Yireh B'Liayin, the person who is living in the internal world and neglects the external more, and into the internal will see things without eyes. Yishma B'Liayin, he'll hear without ears. Yidaber B'Liayin, he'll be able to talk to people without using his tongue, because he'll project thoughts in other people's minds. If I have a pure, strong mind, I can actually make you think certain thoughts. And I can hear you in the Shema speaking to me. I can see things without seeing, I can hear without hearing, I can hear without ears, and I can talk without a tongue, and I can feel things without actually touching them. And that person will be on such a high level that the person will never be upset about anything of his matzav, no matter how bad things are, good or bad. He can be sick, he can be poor, he can have tzaras, nothing's going to bother him. Lo yimas, he will not reject, not be upset, not be turned off by any, not even one detail of his situation. Lo yadif limotze b'matzav acher mizeh shabari b'achar avuro. The person who cleans out his insides will never want that, I wish it would be different. I wish God would do this for me. No, it's really, why didn't God give me this kind of a house, this kind of a wife, this kind of a child? I wish things would be different. Why don't I have a better parnasa? Why does such a crummy business have? No, the person who comes as Madrega will not prefer to be in any different situation than he is right now. He says, what I'm right now is perfect. You know why? Because God chose it for me. And inside, I am living in the internal world. I feel God inside of me. I know that it's good because I feel good. I feel good all inside. The outside, I'm not into. I am sense dead. My senses are dead. I am living in the internal world. This person has corresponded. Yatim. This person has totally corresponded and totally dovetailed his will with the will of Hashem. If Hashem wants to be like this, it must be great. I have no complaint whatsoever. It's perfect. Gam zu l'toiva, this is perfect. Yatim es ritzoinai el ratzon abari, Hashem's will, my will, it is one. Whatever he wants is perfect for me. Perfect. And my love is only for the Rabban Shalom. The only thing I want to love in life anyway is the Rabban Shalom. Everything else is just necessities. It's functional. It's pragmatic. The only love there is a love for Hashem. And then, he'll only love what Hashem wants. He'll only despise what Hashem despises. And this person will reach the highest level that shyest for a human being to attain. And it all comes, he says, when a person realizes that it's more important to live inside of us than outside and work on our attitudes, our feelings, and our machshavas. They should be pure and clean and dedicated to Hashem and think of Hashem the whole day, wherever you go. Try to Messiah, Yud, K, Vav, K, the letters of Hashem in front of our eyes. And whatever it is, I want to be with Hashem. I don't want to get away from Hashem. This temptation comes. I know it's a very nice temptation. It's gewaltic. It's tantalizing. But I'd rather be with Hashem. If I give in to this temptation, Hashem will run away from me. I will chase Hashem away from me. He doesn't run. We chase him out. I want to be with Hashem. Well, I let Hashem into my heart. And I clean out my heart from all of the cancer of the heart, all the mold, all the decay, all the rot, all the filth. Then the inner light is so great that it's nirvana. It's mama. It's bliss. I am masking. And you have vision. A person he can see without eyes, hear without ears, talk without a tongue, feel without touching. A different madrega. He's above senses. He's super sensory, extra sensory perception, living in a whole different dimension. Rabbi Sai, that is the end of the 10th meditation. Next week, Bez Hashem, I have to be in, have to do a big Mesiris Nefesh for Klal Yisrael and go to Florida. A terrible place to go in the middle of the winter. I know it's terrible.